السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم to this edition of The Truthful Connection, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, the voice of the أهل السنة والجماعة in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just did our section, our parliamentarian section. Inshallah, we will now be crossing over to Brother Abu Bakr Sidat, Hafizahullah, and he is going to present his segment called Biladul Muslimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Abu Bakr Sidat.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, how are you keeping? Alhamdulillah, with the grace and mercy of Allah, we are well. Maulana, are you okay?
Alhamdulillah, we also keeping well in Durban, enjoying some good summery days for the last week.
We have the exact opposite here, Maulana. Yesterday and the last week, we had some very cold weather. But alhamdulillah, this is only the grace and ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, you know, changing of the seasons and everything. Alhamdulillah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Jazallah anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima'alu. Rabbi shrali sadri wa isri umri wa lulul min lisani yafqo qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma'alamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Alhamdulillah, with the grace and mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we continue with our segment in Biladul Muslimin. We are discussing the country, Afghanistan. And over the past few weeks, we dealt with the history and the situation, the culture, and the makeup of Afghanistan. And last week, we dealt with the occupation of Afghanistan by the United States of America. Incidentally, it was on the 7th of October, 2001, that the United States of America dislodged the Taliban from being in power. And this was the first disposition of the Taliban from governance of Afghanistan. And then there was this contention that who would lead the country. And by late November, Bin Laden was at the fortified training camp in the Tora Bora Mountains, the Battle of Tora Bora, began on the 30th of November 2001. CIA teams working with tribal militias followed Bin Laden there and began to call in airstrikes to clear the mountainous camp, with special forces soon arriving in support. While the tribal militias numbered about 1,000, it was not fighting eagerly during Ramadan. While the CIA requested that United States Army Rangers be sent and Marines were ready to deploy, they were declined. Bin Laden was eventually able to escape at some point in December to Pakistan. The invasion of Afghanistan by the United States was a striking military success for the coalition. Remember, this was a coalition between the United Kingdom and America. All the Western countries had ganged up, and some of the Arab countries also, who were against the Taliban and the reforms that they were bringing about, joined this coalition of the United States of America. Fewer than 12 U.S. soldiers had died between October and March, compared to some 15,000 Taliban who had been killed or taken prisoners. Special forces teams and their Afghan allies had done most of the work, and relatively few soldiers had been required. Hamid Karzai was a respected, legitimate, and charismatic leader. Still, according to certain historians, the failure to capture Taliban or negotiate with Bin Laden or include them in any way in the new government set the course for a long war that Bin Laden had dreamt of getting the U.S. into. In the early years of the war, Pakistan had been seen as a firm ally and little concern had been given to the support of the to its support to the Taliban. Pakistan also had helped capture numerous top al-Qaeda leaders, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. But internally, Pakistan was providing significant support to the Taliban. We know that during this time, Musharraf also was in power, and he is one of the most notorious military leaders of Pakistan that handed over Afia Siddiqui to the United States of America, whereafter she was given an 86-year sentence. After initial success, the U.S. lacked an obvious goal in Afghanistan, beyond the counterterrorism objectives of finding senior Taliban and al-Qaeda leaders. National building was initially opposed by the Bush administration. But as the U.S. stayed, it slowly crept into the rationale for staying that they must do some development in Afghanistan. In April 2002, Bush made a speech expressing a desire to rebuild Afghanistan. The U.S. also sought to instill democracy and human rights as a moral matter, as if they got some morals, Molana. The international community contributed to the development effort in Afghanistan, which focused on aid and creating institutions to run the country. U.S. reconstruction efforts also focused on improving education, healthcare, and community development. The U.S. also supported and funded the creation of an Afghan army in early 2002. However, the army was built slowly due to competing interests, and the U.S. believed that the Taliban were no longer a strong threat. Some in the Bush administration preferred to use the Northern Alliance and warlords as the military instead of creating a new military. The army became an afterthought and was poorly trained and equipped, which further enabled the Taliban to establish itself after being overthrown. The first attempt at a larger organization of Taliban groups after the invasion occurred in April 2002 in the country's south. A shura was established by former mid-level Taliban officials in Gardi Jungle, a refugee camp near the Helmand border. It operated in the core southern provinces of Kandahar, Helmand, Zabul, and Uruzgan. It was composed of 23 groups of about 50 individuals each, for a total of around 1,200. In the North Waziristan district of Pakistan, Jalaluddin Haqqani had started organizing the Haqqani Network after exiling there in 2001. In early 2002, their manpower was estimated at 1,400 and had a presence in Paktia province and Khosh province in the second half of 2002 with limited activity. They were joined by members of Al-Qaeda, Operation Jacana and Operation Condor, among others, tried to flush out the Taliban with varying results. Some members of the Taliban reached out to Hamid Karzai to open negotiations several times between 2002 and 2004. But the U.S. was adamantly against this and ensured that all top Taliban leaders were blacklisted, such that the Afghan government could not negotiate with them. Many historians argue that negotiations with the Taliban would have been low cost at that stage, but highly effective and could help the U.S. overconfidence, and notes that all information that the Taliban could research was available was ignored. Some Taliban leaders considered joining the political process with meetings on the issue until 2004, though this did not result in a decision to do so. The Taliban was very independent. Many Taliban members who had given up arms to live peacefully, especially after being promised amnesty by Hamid Karzai, were increasingly harassed by the U.S. and elements of the Afghan government. By 2004, most Taliban leaders in Afghanistan had fled back to Pakistan, where the remnants of the Taliban were hiding. Some historians argue that the U.S. provided significant momentum to the Taliban by its own missteps, especially by focusing on aggressive counterterrorism and vengeance for 9/11. They argue that these actions alone did not restart the conflict because the Taliban would have re-emerged regardless because of leaders like Mullah Omar and Jalaluddin Haqqani, who had never put down their arms. The Taliban undertook relatively few actions until 2005. Pamphlets by Taliban and other groups turned up strewn in towns and the countryside in early 2003, urging Islam, the Muslim faithful and Islamists to rise up against U.S. forces and other foreign soldiers in a holy war. American attention was diverted from Afghanistan when U.S. former forces invaded Iraq in March 2003. In May 2003, the Taliban Supreme Court's Chief Justice, Abdul Salam, proclaimed that the Taliban were back, regrouped, rearmed, and ready for guerrilla war to expel the U.S. forces from Afghanistan. It would take another 20 years before the Americans would be ousted. As the summer of 2003 continued, Taliban attacks gradually increased in frequency. Dozens of Afghan government soldiers, NGO, humanitarian workers, and several U.S. soldiers died in the raids, ambushes, and rocket attacks. Besides guerrilla attacks, Taliban fighters began building up forces in the district of Dei Chopan district in Zabul province. The Taliban decided to make a stand there. Over the course of the summer, up to 1,000 guerrillas moved there. Over 220 people, including several dozen Afghan police, were killed in August of 2003. On 11th August, NATO assumed control of ISAF, that is the international support force in Afghanistan. Taliban leader Mullah Omar reorganized the movement and in 2003 launched an insurgency against the government and ISAF. From the second half of 2003 through 2004, operations started intensifying with night letters followed by kidnappings and assassinations of government officials and collaborating village elders. By 2005, with the former leaving villages in fear, government schools and clinics were also burned down. Privately, the Taliban were preparing a grand offensive against the coalition. It was also to be years in the make. It was to be years in the making, so that enough strength could be gathered. Mullah Dadullah, who was put in charge of the offensive, his tactics were largely effective. He was responsible for introducing suicide bombing into wide use around 2004. As previously, the Taliban had not been enamored by suicide or taking civilian lives. That had been an Al-Qaeda tactic. A network of madrasas in Pakistan, catering to Afghan refugees, provided a steady stream of extremist recruits willing to die. These were mujahideen, and they were really not going to allow the United States to get hold of their country. The U.S. started using drone strikes in Pakistan in 2004, starting along the federal tribal areas against Taliban and Al-Qaeda militants. In June and July 2005, the United States Navy SEALs carried out Operation Red Wings as a joint military operation in Kunar province. The mission intended to disrupt local Taliban led by Ahmad Shah, hopefully bringing stability and facilitating the Afghan parliament elections scheduled for September 2005. The operation was a pyrrhic victory for the coalition, with only one survivor. This was dramatized in a film called Lone Survivor and 19 Dead. Operation Whalers would finish the job several weeks later. Taliban activity dropped significantly and Shah was seriously wounded. Shah was not able to undertake any significant operations subsequent to Operation Whalers in Kunar or neighboring provinces. The Taliban regained control over several villages in the south by the end of 2005, mostly because the villages were frustrated with the lack of help from the government and hoped life would be better under the Taliban. Years of planning were coming to fruition for the Taliban. By comparison, the government was in a very weak position. The police were deeply underfunded, and the average district had only 50 officers. Some districts had no government presence at all. Most of the country's militias, with a strength of about 100,000, had been demobilized due to international pressure to create an army, but it was still weak. Combined with an increase in tribal feuding, the conditions were perfect for a Taliban comeback. As insurgent attacks in the country reportedly grew fourfold between 2002 and 2006, by late 2007, Afghanistan was said to be in serious danger for falling into Taliban control, despite the presence of 40,000 coalition troops. From January 2006, the multinational ISAF contingent started to replace U.S. troops in southern Afghanistan. The U.K. formed the core of the force along with Australia, Canada, the Netherlands, and Estonia. In January 2006, NATO's focus in southern Afghanistan was to form a provincial reconstruction team. Local Taliban figures pledged to resist. Since Canada wanted to deploy in Kandahar, the UK got Helmand province. Helmand was the center of poppy production. And we know that all this poppy production was being diverted to the Western countries and also distributed among the Afghanis free of charge. And this created a major problem for the coalition forces also because the drug addiction was becoming endemic in the area, so it seemed a good region for anti-narcotic focus. In hindsight, the UK were a poor choice. Pashtun Helmandis had never forgotten the 1880 Battle of Maiwand with the British, and it proved a source of significant resistance for them. As we said in our earlier programs, also Afghanistan has been a graveyard for the empires. The British, the Americans, and the Russians also. Spring and summer action in 2006 by the coalition included, they have all these operation names, Molana, Mountain Thrust, Operation Medusa, a Dutch-Australian offensive, the Battle of Panjwai, Operation Mountain Fury, Operation Falcon Summit. The coalition achieved tactical victories and area denial. But the Taliban were not completely defeated. On May 29, 2006, a U.S. military truck was part of a convoy in Kabul, lost control and plowed into civilian vehicles, killing one person and injuring six. The surrounding crowd got angry and a riot arose lasting all day, ending with 20 dead and 160 injured, when stone-throwing and gunfire had come from a crowd of some 400 men. The U.S. troops had used their weapons to defend themselves while leaving the scene. A U.S. military spokesman said, a correspondent of the Financial Times in Kabul suggested that this was the outbreak of a groundswell of resentment and growing hostility to foreigners that had been growing and building since 2004. UK actions in early 2007 included Operation Volcano, Operation Achilles, Operation Leste Kelang. The UK Ministry of Defense also announced its intention to bring troops level to the country up to 7,700. In March 2007, the U.S. deployed some 3,500 more troops, though the pace of deployment was slow due to American priorities in Iraq. In the first 5 months of 2008, the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan increased by over 80%, with a surge of 21,000 more troops, bringing the total from 26,000 to 48,000 in June. On 4th March 2007, U.S. Marines killed 12 civilians and injured 33 in Shinwar district, Nangarhar, in a response to a bomb ambush. The event became known as the Shinwar Massacre. The 120-member Marine unit responsible for the attack were ordered to leave the country because the incident damaged the unit's relationship with the local population. During the summer, NATO forces achieved tactical victories at the Battle of Kora in Oruzgan, where Dutch and Australian ISAF forces were deployed. The Battle of Musa Kala took place in December. Afghan units were the principal fighting force supporting British forces. Taliban forces were forced out of the town. Taliban experienced some defeats also. There was ups and downs over this 20-year period, but the tenacity of Mullah Omar and his forces carried on in this guerrilla warfare. In 2007, after more than 5 years of war, Western officials and analysts estimated the strength of the Taliban forces at only about 10,000 fighters fielded at any given time. Of that number, only 2,000 to 3,000 were highly motivated, full-time insurgents. The rest were volunteer units made up of young Afghans, angered by deaths of Afghan civilians and military airstrikes and American detention. On June 13, 2008, Taliban fighters demonstrated their ongoing strength, liberating all prisoners in Kandahar jail. The operation freed 1,200 prisoners, 400 of whom were Taliban, causing a major embarrassment for NATO. By the end of 2008, the Taliban apparently had severed remaining ties with Al-Qaeda, according to senior U.S. military intelligence officials. Perhaps fewer than 100 members of Al-Qaeda remained in Afghanistan. In the summer of 2008, President Bush issued an order authorizing raids against militants in Pakistan. Pakistan said it would not allow foreign forces onto its territories and that it would vigorously protect its sovereignty. In September, the Pakistani military stated that it had issued orders to open fire on U.S. soldiers who crossed the border in pursuit of militant forces. In September 2008, President Bush announced the withdrawal of over 8,000 troops from Iraq and a further increase of up to 4,500 in Afghanistan. The same month, the U.K. lost its 100th service person. On September 3, 2008, U.S. commandos landed by helicopter and attacked three houses close to a known enemy stronghold in Pakistan. Pakistan condemned the attack, calling the incursion a gross violation of Pakistani territory. On September 6, in an apparent reaction, Pakistan announced an indefinite disconnection of supply lines to NATO forces. A further split occurred when Pakistan soldiers fired on NATO aircraft, which has crossed the border on September 25th. However, despite tensions, the U.S. increased the use of remotely piloted drone aircraft in Pakistan's border regions, in particular the federal tribal areas in Balochistan. By 2009, drone attacks were up 183% since 2006. There was broad agreement in Afghanistan that the war should end, but how it should happen was a major issue for the candidates of the 2009 Afghan presidential election that re-elected Karzai. In a television speech after being elected, Karzai called on all our Taliban brothers, we quote, to come home and embrace their land, and laid plans to launch a lawyer jirga, that is a conference. Efforts were undermined by the Obama administration's increase of American troops in the country. Karzai reiterated at the London conference in January 2010 that he wanted to reach out to the Taliban to lay down arms. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton cautiously supported the proposal. In fact, they were getting hiding in Afghanistan, but they were not giving information to the Western world that they were in this condition. 17,000 additional troops would be deployed in two brigades and support troops. The 2nd Marine Expeditionary Brigade of about 3,500 and the 5th Brigade, 2nd Infantry Division, a striker brigade with about 4,000 troops. The ISAF commander, General David McKinnon, had called for as many as 30,000 additional troops, effectively doubling the number of troops. On 23rd September, a classified assessment by General McChrystal included his inclusion that a successful counterinsurgency would require 500,000 troops and 5 years. So they were already on hiding to nothing, and then they had to go to the negotiation table. In fact, in September in 2010, the negotiations started with Qatar playing the mediator between the U.S. and the Taliban. And it is very interesting. I think next week we want to discuss this, how the negotiations were carried out, where the Pakistan, from the offset, had no compromise and made the maximum demand that the U.S. must withdraw completely. There was no other party, not Hamid Karzai, nor Ashraf Ghani, who came later on as a president, would be included in the negotiations. The negotiations had to be with the Taliban and the Taliban only, and they would determine the parameters of the negotiations. The U.S. were at some stage hoping that some of the negotiators of the Taliban would definitely not participate in the negotiations because they were so strong in their demands and so who knew their negotiation skills were at another level, Maulana. And I think this will be a very interesting topic to discuss. Alhamdulillah, Pakistani drone strikes against Taliban and Al-Qaeda militants increased substantially under President Obama. Some in the media referred to the attacks as a drone war. In August 2009, Baitullah Mahshood, the leader of the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, was killed in a drone strike. June 2009 brought about Operation Strike of the Sword in Helmand. It followed a British-led operation named Operation Panther's Claw in the same region, which was aimed to secure canal and river crossings to establish a long-term ISAF presence. Alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of our program. It flies so fast. Allah Ta'ala make it easy and accept it. We pray that you and the listeners have a wonderful day. From us, from Bilad al-Muslim team, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah khair al jaza for your valuable time this morning. We are now, alhamdulillah, come to the end of this edition of The Truthful Connection. Insha'Allah, we will meet again next week. I will, inshallah, be online again tomorrow between the hours of 17 and 19 for the program Tarweehun Nufus. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.